Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. On Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast, we feature an in-depth biblical study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of the broadcast of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is the 19th day of December, 2019, and the scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through chapter 40, verse 23, Amos chapter 2, starting at verse 6 through chapter 3, verse 8, Acts chapter 9, verses 9 through 16. That's the New Testament, of course. You can listen to our shows on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Deezer, and you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to get the Spreaker app. And you can also go to our posts for the listening and downloads of the shows. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. There's a lot of time and that goes into writing those, and they're very inspired. And so please take the time to read them and pass them on to your friends. And this week we feature Christian persecution. No, I'm sorry. Christian persuasion, persistence, and perfection. Christian persuasion, a conversation on and about post-Christian era in America and the nation. Is the Christian era ending? This has been a topic of much discussion. In light of these end of days, there is a sure answer. There is a path to which Christians walk and a light to which they are to testify. This is the truth. Christianity is alive in spite of the rumors of its demise. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the center of what people believe. He is also alive and coming soon. And go to danaglennsmith.com to get your free ebook. It's The House of Long Shadows. It is known as the generation that gave America away. In The House of Long Shadows, we find an America whose house is filled with sin and rebellion. This is a house with a vibrant and chilling tale of beginning, but today a house that is divided and a people whose long shadows cast darkness over the land. So you can get that free ebook by going to danaglennsmith.com, and you can also read the articles there and also on warn-usa.com. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. We're here on a Thursday night.
Yeah, and it's next to the last Thursday of this month.
Yeah, we've got 1 week till Christmas. Is that right or about?
Yeah, a week from yesterday. Yeah, 6 days.
A week from yesterday. Yeah.
Incredible.
It's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
You know, I was just enjoying spring and summer here not too long ago.
I know. It wasn't that long ago. It seems like it wasn't anyway.
And now we've been through October and November. And we're halfway through December. I mean, dear.
More than halfway,
you know,
yeah.
And even with all these ding-a-lings and their impeachment, you know, folks, there's a lot of misinformation out of there. And if you want to know the truth on a lot of things, you need to listen to the ACLJ program. There's a few others, but there's a lot of people, including the people in the news agencies, that haven't a clue what's going on here. The Democrats never impeached Trump in the House. Impeachment takes both houses. They voted for impeachment, and that impeachment isn't completed until the Senate does their job. So all these knuckleheads, and many of them remind us of that phrase, answer not a fool according to their folly. I even seen a debate on Instagram, and they were talking about the fact, you know, that there wasn't any evidence. One guy said, well, I disagree with you as a Christian brother, but, you know, there was more than that. No, there wasn't. The reason there wasn't is because it was innuendo, secondhand information. That's exactly a lot of these people that get thrown in prison actually get in trouble for overseas. The Christians. Because the evidence against them is false. They're bearing false witness. And Schiff came out today, and he's targeting Pence now to impeach him. This Schiff is gutless, sneaky, and wicked. And I don't worry about these people. One of these days, the truth will come out. One of these days. May not be in our lifetime. But, you know, that shift and all the rest of that is nothing but hogwash. They were skipping down the hallways. And I forgot, Rashida Tlaib was doing a video celebrating. Well, honey, don't celebrate too soon because all you did was show how ignorant you are.
Yeah.
Because apparently you don't know what real proof is in a court of law. It's hard to believe how many people in this country don't know the basics of law. They don't know what bearing false witness. They've been doing so many tweets and so many social media things, they think that's law. That's not law. That's baloney. You know, Sally said that, Susie said that, Frank said that, Billy overheard, you know, someone else say something. I mean, give me a break.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, and trying to impeach an contempt of Congress because he did the thing that he can do, and that's go to the courts. That's about as stupid and foolish. I mean, even, you know, the Senate was talking about that today. I mean, give me a break. This is a bunch of pathetic nonsense. And then, of course, last night, Trump had his rally and answered the charges in Michigan. And according to the people that attended, 17% of that massive crowd, and they sent away over 20,000 because there wasn't enough room and it was cold. They said, go home and watch it, which, you know, that's how we watch it. 17% were Democrats. And if you track where Trump has been going in all of his speeches that he gives, they're always packed out. And in one case, they had 24% were Democrats who went to hear
him.
Wow. So anytime you think, you know, I mean, to show you how nonsense this is, even It wasn't James, you know, the former James Bond. It wasn't Timothy Dalton. It wasn't James Bond. It was the other one. Pierce Brosnan came out and said, look what Trump has done to the economy. It's fantastic. You know, and there was others, you know, I mean, in other words, why would you people impeach someone that gave you a good, you know, a good economy? Are you nuts? You know, I mean, these are people watching around the world and they see the American Congress and they think they're crazy. I mean, it is so laughable. So don't let this get you upset. Everything's in the hands of the Lord. Now, if Trump ends up getting impeached, which I highly, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, highly unlikely. You know, the bottom line of it is there's another source for us as believers. But that doesn't mean we have to cow down to this foolishness, this wickedness, this utter, preposterous nature of people who think they're right and they've deluded themselves. That's how people wind up in hell. They delude themselves. So, you know, just a little note. We're going to be talking about Israel. Israel deluded herself. And I'm going to start that right now, Tower, if you're ready.
Okay. Yes. Tonight is part 29 of Isaiah's Burden of Judgment. Burden of Judgment falls upon the land beyond Cush. Those in power, like Assyria, is included as Judah finds itself in the center. The timing is God's time, and the armies of nations wait for the great judgment. That divine hand of the governor of nations will do a work that men will know is beyond their control. Okay, now back to you, and I'll see you on the other side.
Did you say part 129?
No.
One of these days we're going to be there. I mean, you know, we might have 129 parts because we're in Isaiah 18 and
it's going to be 155 parts.
I mean, that's, but we are going to get through this book, good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise.
Okay.
So I'm going to begin in Isaiah 17. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make noise like the noise of the seas, to the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Now, whenever you see this phrase, you know, in the Old Testament, as we look at it, has a lot of these kind of phrases of judgment and of the gathering of nations. You just imagine the rushing of waters. Well, living up in the high country, and camping and fishing and doing all the things we like to do up in the high country, including hunting, we know there are canyons. Colorado's particularly dangerous, and so is Texas and Oklahoma, some of these other places, to flash floods. So you just think of a flash flood that just comes in and wipes everything out. And in our valleys up here, high in our mountains, this water comes really fast. Well, see, this designates the rushing of nations or as an army coming into the area like Sennacherib did. See, he whipped a bunch of people when he came in, but when he got to Jerusalem, he wound in trouble. In Isaiah 29, verse 1, it says, woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Well, matter of fact, they were killing sacrifices. They were following the law, but they were also serving other gods as well. And they were doing more than just doing that. By the time Israel did get judged and Babylon took her away, she had been sacrificing her children to Baal. So they had fallen a long ways. So there's a woe directly to Ariel, the name for the city of David, which is Jerusalem. And it's always in the target of history, always. So when you look at this in the Old Testament, you know, David was the warrior king, but dear God in heaven, he had so many enemies. Israel had so many enemies all the time. And they were always trying to destroy Israel. And at times when Israel fell away, God would allow the enemies to enter in order to get Israel back on track. And they would repent and go back to God, and then they would fall away. And we see that ongoing example with Israel. You know, first you're on fire, then you lose that fire, you begin to sin against God, you really sin against God, you get judged, you know, judgment hurts, you end up repenting, and you go back to God and repeat, you know, and that's basically what we see. But when you get in, like, our current timing, Israel is still in the eye of the storm. And today, Hezbollah and Hamas agreed to an agreement, in a pact to join efforts to destroy Israel. Now, if you've forgotten, Hamas is over in the Gaza Strip. And, of course, the other ones are over in Lebanon, just one place. And, of course, Iran has their finger in the pie. Iran was giving money to the fighters. But at any rate, to put a long story short, Israel is in the center of the storm. And in Isaiah here, of course, Isaiah started out with a judgment on Israel, but then he went to the other nations round about. And there is no doubt that Sennacherib came in. And of course, even before he came in, there were other invasions in there in that whole area. And when you have a particular invading army, they're likely to invade more than just their target, because a lot of them are open and can be taken. So in verse 5 of Isaiah 29, "Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passes away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly." So the multitude of the terrible ones, that's the army, shall be as chaff that passes away. In other words, if you've got grains in the field and you harvest it and you're reaping the grain, you're you know, throwing them up or beating them on the ground in order to get the grains fall to the ground, the chaff blows away in the wind. And that's what happens to the army. What happens? Well, they get destroyed. That's why they pass away. "And thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, earthquake, great noise, storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire." Now, you can literally do see the flame of devouring fire and thunder and hailstones. You can see a lot of things when you use these descriptive terms. If you ever read about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, you do see some of these things. And so by the time you get to verse 7, "and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Israel." Now, it is amazing how Jerusalem has always been the center, and the Jews were always in the middle of it. And, of course, when the Lord came, the Jews were firmly entrenched in Jerusalem. They had had an ongoing relationship with Rome. And they were able to govern themselves pretty much as long as they followed what Rome did, which was kind of the thing which Rome did. You know, they weren't opposed to your religion. They weren't opposed to your faith as long as you did what you're supposed to do, pay whatever you needed to pay, and join the Roman Empire, per se. They would leave you alone. However, if you did things wrong, if it looked like you were going to cause trouble, you were going to be in trouble. And of course, when the Lord came, Rome, because they were in charge, provided a lot of things for the gospel to be spread. A common language because of the Roman Empire. They had roads and they had it was pretty secure. And so they had a lot of things going for the spread of the gospel. But Jerusalem, though, ran into trouble, especially with the Jews, because they began to rebel after the Lord was crucified. And, of course, this is the time the gospel is really moving. And then, of course, General Titus came in and attacked Jerusalem, and a million, according to Josephus, a million Jews got killed at that time. Most of the Christian, it is said, had left because the Lord had warned them about it. It's in the prophecies in the gospel. He said one stone will be left. So a lot of them left. Of course, there is a reason a lot of them left, because Jerusalem began to start persecuting the Christians, including the apostles, and they left. Of course, James was the first martyr there. And so there you go, right in the middle, even in the New Testament, Jerusalem is right smack dab in the middle of things. And we find them smack dab in the middle of this in Isaiah. We find them smack dab in the middle when we get into Revelation. When we look at Armageddon, and if you move back into Zechariah, the last chapter, you're going to find this whole scenario playing out. It's just amazing how they always wind up and smack dab in the middle of everything. And so, you know, this is one of the things that Trump has done, you know, and a lot of nations have followed him. And that's why, you know, there was a Jewish rabbi who had given a prophecy about Trump as Cyrus. And of course, Cyrus, I've talked about quite a bit, because he was the Lord's anointed. He's the one that God actually called to come in and destroy Babylon or take it over. And he commanded the Jews to go rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and go back and live there. And so, but for the Jews, a lot of the Jews, there was a number of the Jews that stayed in Babylon, but they also moved around. There was a lot of the Jews that that found themselves in other portions of the world. So it's easy to see how they got scattered away from the Middle East like they did. And so today, a lot of them are coming back now. So Jerusalem is right smack back, you know, smack right in the middle of prophecy again. And so we're watching that. So when we see the phrase, woe to the multitude of many people, it happened then. It has happened many times. But guess what? It's going to happen again. And it's just amazing to see all this play out. And of course, as far as Israel, you would think that Israel would learn her lesson. Well, you'd think America would learn her lesson. You would think the nations of men would learn their lessons. And let me go on up here. Because I want to take a look at here. Yeah, 17:12. And then we get down to 13. And I just love the way this is, because when I read this, you can really see this. See, Jerusalem is threatened. And of course, when Hezekiah was king, this is when they got attacked and Sennacherib's army came in and he was eventually killed. But his army was destroyed. But it's amazing how they come in here. But in Isaiah 17, we're looking ahead. The nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters. Now that follows verse 12. This context today, again, is you're rushing to judgment. I mean, we can see this today. And we look around and we see how paranoia North Korea is. We see how China makes deals with us, but yet they don't want to give any quarter to Hong Kong to be free. They want to take back Taiwan, who we've sworn to protect. They don't like anybody around the China Sea, which is not theirs, but they claim it to be theirs. So that whole portion over there is threatened to have war. There's been several number of Chinese generals in the military that have warned America. This has been years ago when they were doing this. And so you see the way Israel is. You see how many surrounding countries want to destroy her. You just see, you know, it's like we're in the middle of a this global thing, which we are, and you have both sides, you know, they hate each other, but they're holding off. It's just one of these days, you know, somebody just spits on the sidewalk and away we go. We're in global thermonuclear warfare, you know, and it's just like, dear God in heaven. And of course, the scripture does say that. It says, unless the Lord would shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. I mean, and of course in Revelation it says that when the Lord does come again, he's going to destroy those who have destroyed the earth. So that tells you, we got people here that are literally destroying the earth. You take Hezbollah and you take Hamas, both who have sworn vengeance against Israel. They're not going to stop till they're dead or destroyed. And you take the radical Islamists that are making war, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, who is still there, the Taliban. You get in Boko Haram as well. You get the Fulani. All these groups, radical Islamists, they're not going to stop unless you kill them. And, of course, you got Erdogan, who, you know, he is the opposite of what Iran is. And Iran, of course, they're waiting for the Mahdi to bring in a global Islamic caliphate. Erdogan's trying to put together his own caliphate. They're both different because one is waiting for the Mahdi and the other is creating his own caliphate like the Ottomans. And Muslims, Islam has had numerous real strong caliphates in Earth's history. So when they tell you that they're going to do it, they don't work on 100-year wars. They work on 1,000-year wars. And they work to have big families. So that's why everywhere you go, if you go even in the West, you go in America, you go in Europe, it's just a matter of time before they get all the warriors produced. It'll take them several generations, even if it takes them 200 generations to get enough of their faith in. They will do it. So while in the West we get sloppy, in the West we may fall away. Well, when you're talking about your enemies, they don't do that. And Israel's the same way. She's got a lot of enemies. And here we see the nations rush like the rushing of many waters. But God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be as chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And, of course, as in the case of Sennacherib, which we mentioned, the rebuke, you know, this means to, well, you know, I'm going to, let's put it this way. Well, I'm going to have a nice picnic. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to have plenty of people there. I'm going to have ribs. I'm going to have beans. I'm going to have corn on the cob. We're going to have a beautiful meal. You get there, you start planning it. Before you know it, you have hornets show up. And then you have the mosquitoes show up. And then you have a bunch of bums that just happen to show up, and they break the party too. You see, Sennacherib was going to make a lunch and a buffet out of Israel and this whole area. Well, when the Lord rebuked him, he changed their plans. Excuse me here, I'm the God of the universe, and not that I have to introduce me, but you'll know me after I'm done. folks, that's what happens when you put man's plans in the way of God's. He has the authority to disarrange your plans, to arrest your plans, to discomfort you in your working of the plans. This is why many Christians, you know, they're always seeking the will of God. Well, you want the will of God, get into the Word of God. You read it, study it, pray, fast, and seek the Lord some more. Because the will of God is there. I remember an old brother preaching. He says, if I hear from one more person waiting for God to tell me what I need to do, he wasn't going to be very nice. He wasn't going to hurt him, but, you know, he would tell him, have you read your Bible lately? Have you sought him? Well, no. I mean, God tells us what to do. He's told us a lot of things. Now, see, the problem you get in these end of days, people don't believe the Bible. They have people in the church that don't believe it either. They have people that are teaching the people in the church that didn't believe it to begin with. Yeah. So the army was overthrown as far as Sennacherib by a plague. The king returned and dwelt at Nineveh only to be killed with his sons. And you can find that in 2 Kings 19. And let me read it for you. Now, this is how Sennacherib, now see, he had surrounded Jerusalem. And he told, he came out against Hezekiah, told the Jews not to listen. He spoke to him in his own language, in their own language. And he said, don't listen to Hezekiah. Well, Hezekiah had a prophet that come and told him that it would be all right. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. 185,000, okay. And when they rose early in the morning, they were all dead corpses. Now, I like that word, dead corpses, because in my modern English, I think do you need the word dead? Because in America, when we say corpses, we think of dead people. For some reason, when they interpreted this, they put in dead corpses, because apparently somewhere in the history, they thought that we needed to be told that a corpse wasn't dead. Well, if you've got the Lord around and he's told that Lazarus is dead and his corpse lays, he's a dead corpse, but not for long because the Lord raised him up. So it just depends on who you serve here. And there was a tweet out today about a young boy 2 years old that the pastor was thanking people for believing with him because he was dying. I think he died. And I'm not sure about the whole story, but I did kind of hear about this, again, hearsay, that, and I see so many tweets that it seems like yesterday he was commanding the boy, death, to let go of him. And today he's thanking everybody that they believed with him for this boy to be brought alive. So it sounded to me like the boy came alive again. Well, you know, we have seen people come back from the dead in our modern lifetime. In, you know, Bonnke, Reinhard Bonnke had a case of that. And, you know, I mean, there's been numerous ones. I remember one guy who had been dead for 3 or 4 days, and he came back alive. He woke up and he was in the dead ward, and people didn't even know what to make of him when he started moving and wanting to get out. Now that's a corpse that isn't dead. So anyway, back to the story. So Sennacherib, king of Syria, departed. I would too, 185,000, and they're all dead. So you go back. See, here's a mighty king. He's got the biggest, vicious army Assyria was known for this kind of thing. And they were vicious. So they go back, right? Here's this big king. You know, when they left, there's this big triumphant, mean, ugly group of vicious fighters. And when the king comes back, it's probably him and a couple of aides. What happened to your people, king? Well, I don't know. They got sick and died. No, you fool. You dissed the Lord God of Israel. And what did he do? He destroyed your army. Now, a warning note here to the modern society. With all your missiles, with all your armies, with all your loudmouth, with all your pride, and with all your sin, go ahead. Mock God and see how far you get. Mock the Lord. Mock the Lord Jesus Christ all you want. All you Christians, do you think you need to defend the Lord all the time? You're not supposed to defend him. You're supposed to stand up and testify to the power that he has. It's time that Christians stop being snivelly and scared and feared and quiet and carnal and secular. It's time to stand up. Because this is the God of Israel, and he's also our God and our king, because he sent his son. And if you think he can do this to Sennacherib in just one instant, what do you think he's going to do at Megiddo, Armageddon, when the last great Gentile leader, we commonly call the Antichrist, is really, really wrong, because they don't have that word for him, because, folks, quite plainly, we have a lot of Antichrist today, and they're not the one we're talking about coming. The one that's coming is described as the beast, and his helper is the beast, and the reason it's a beast, it tells you the roots of where he comes from, directly from Satan. That's why he's named that. And he has a description and a power like you have never seen. He's a beast. So, go ahead. The nations of Gentiles are going to follow him, and they're going to get their chance. Kind of reminds me of the Democrats rejoicing over impeaching Trump. And they were happy, man. They were giddy. It's just like you'd have thought they won the lottery. you know. I know one of his supporters tweeted, my condolences to the Democrats. Have you seen that Trump is still in the White House? That was kind of funny. But I'm not being political, but I'm just making a point. The bottom line of it is that in our society, we get, you know, thrown back and forth over everything. And sometimes, if you've got a little power, like Sennacherib did, you think, well, I'm just going to go destroy Israel. And so his end, what do you think they're going to do? You know what they're going to do to the Antichrist, to the beast. You know, that'll be a day when we get through that. Thank God there's going to be an end to this mess that we live in. Really. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Ershadon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Ershadon, Ershaddon, if I'm not mistaken, you can find that name in history. The lesson here, okay, for you believers today, and even for the Jews, even if they don't believe in the Messiah yet, they will. God, our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is in control. He has sent his only begotten Son, Yahshua, and he is the one that holds the keys to death and hell. He is the Almighty. He calls himself in Revelation 1. He's going to judge the nations. And in his own way, he will discomfit, plague, and destroy them. And that will happen especially during the wrath of God, tribulation, as we affectionately call it. Affectionately, because, folks, God is a God of mercy, but he's not going to allow wickedness to thrive forever. He's given people a chance to repent. And if you don't want to repent, that's up to you. I'm not here to twist your arm. I'm here to testify to you. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's being born again. That's receiving him. John 1, John 3. Then also read John 10 through 18, read Romans 3 through 8, and then go to 1 John chapter 1. That'll give you a little bit of a good head start. He's not going to put up with wickedness. See, we put up with wickedness and perversion even in our churches. We put up with it in society. We are bombarded with it. There's, you know, our kids aren't even taught civility anymore. They're not taught modesty anymore. Dear God in heaven, they're not even taught that there's boys and girls. Now they've got a whole list of genders. Dear God in heaven, no wonder the kids are so confused today. Well, what am I going to be? Well, Johnny, we've got this wheel. It kind of looks like the Wheel of Fortune, but we've got all the various genders you can be. So all you do is go up there. It's your lucky chance. Just flip the wheel and let it go around. And if it lands on something you don't like, don't worry. We have a lot of mercy. We'll let you flip it again. Dear God in heaven, it is pathetic. Because who you're destroying is your children. But I got news for you. You ain't destroying any of my children. And you're not going to destroy the children of those who are believers, who know the truth, and who pray for their kids, and who hold them up before God. I got news for you. you're not going to get them. And I rebuke you in Jesus' name if you think you're going to. And I rebuke the spirits of darkness in Jesus' name. You foul thing, I bind you and cast you into outer darkness. You get away. Father, move upon them and give them freedom. Isaiah 17:14. I love this one too. I love Isaiah. And behold, at evening time, trouble. And before the morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us. Now, I you know, when you go back and you read the Psalms and you follow David and the others who wrote the Psalms, they were very good at describing those who were surrounding them. And sometimes they would weep all night. David many times found himself surrounded by his enemies. But he triumphed. Now see, here in the evening, you're surrounded with troubles. Now see, why is it the evening, folks? Because all day long you've been working. Let's take the scenario today. You get up, you have a good breakfast, everything seems fine. You check your Twitter feed, you check your Facebook, whatever you check. You may not check anything, check your phone, and everything's good. Through the day, your boss gets mad, you have a few other problems, you have the bank call, you have things that happen in your country that you don't like, that is gut-wrenching. And so by the time you get to dinner time and you're sitting around with the kids, you're just dejected and feel terrible because it's been a tough day. All the enemies are picking on you. All your troubles are crowding around you. Well, see, in this scenario, the trouble is an army. Trouble is your enemy. The trouble is those who want what you have. See, that's what the Democrats are pushing today, because they don't want the America that was the America. They want the America that is the land, and they want the people, and they want the money, and they want the gold, they want the minerals, they want our borders, they want everything, but they don't want our Constitution. They don't like the way we lived, and many of them don't even like Christianity being around. See, there's people in America that want to spoil America. And there's people that want to spoil Germany and take away Germany from the German people. And there's people surrounding Israel that wants to take their land that God gave them. See, and the evening, really, if we look prophetically, we're in the time of the evening right now. We're not in the time of the darkness. We're in the evening. When the darkness comes and the Lord speaks of it, that's when the power of darkness arises, and you're not going to overthrow it till that power of darkness, which God has ordained, gets fulfilled. And you can see a general reference to this in 2 Thessalonians 2, when those, that generation that rejects the love of the truth, which is the gospel in all of its form, and the Father and the Son, when they reject the love of the truth, God sends them a delusion so that they will believe a lie. And when they believe a lie, the son of perdition will lead them into destruction. That's their judgment for rejecting God's gift. And this follows exactly what Isaiah had prophesied as well. I will choose their delusions and bring their own fears upon them. You think God is off playing golf? I don't think so. So Albert Barnes said this about this phrase here. He's a theologian. This is a general declaration regarding the enemies of the Jewish people. This is the lot, the end, the destiny of all who attempt to destroy him. That is, the people of God shall be safe, whoever rises up against them, and whatever may be the number or the power of their foes, they shall be overthrown. Now, even Christians today, when you believe in the Lord, let me finish the rest of that. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, means they're saved. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, that is testifying. That's where the Lord says, whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess them before the Father. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny them. And they love not their lives unto the death. That is one of the marching orders, as I call it, in Revelation. And so, see, we have reported, Wednesday night was our reporting on persecution, advocacy. And when we report on people dying and being martyred, now those souls are with the Lord. They haven't lost anything. Now the people that killed them are happy they killed them because they're filthy Christians. See, if you were a Christian in India, India is on the persecution list, although they try to act like they are, fair. They're not fair, especially since the BJP party got in. Radical Hindus are vowing to rid India of Christians. So when they kill them, they're happy. But what they don't know is that's not the end of their life. That's the beginning. There are those that are getting killed in Nigeria, getting killed around the world for their faith, and they're in the presence of the Lord. So folks, when this starts happening in America or in your country, wherever you're at, you have to count the cost. But you need to remember this, because whatever it is, when trouble surrounds you and there's nowhere to go, sit there, gather around, and hold hands with the brethren and pray and be quiet. And invite his presence and come unto him. Because I'd rather be in the presence of God, surrounded by the enemy who meant to kill me, than be in a church that is cold and lukewarm, who allows the very enemies to come in and accepts them willingly. And the enemies won't kill him because they've accepted what the enemy believes. And see, we see this a lot. You see, it's not okay just to think as the Lord as a good teacher or a good prophet or a good man. If you do not believe that he died on the cross according to scripture, that his Father sent him, and that he died on that cross for your sins, he was dead and buried, was resurrected from the dead, seen alive by many infallible proofs and witnesses, left instructions for the church, and ascended to the right hand of God, there ever living to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he's coming again as a greater son of David to bring in his kingdom, which will be forever. And he will rule and reign with his people, his saints, for 1,000 years. And then the temple of God will come down out of heaven officially, and this will be over. And you will spend eternity not just on earth, but there will be a magnificence of which no human can understand. And I like to think here that you might even be able to make an excursion instantly to Mars or Venus or Moon or wherever you want in God's great creation. Because time will mean nothing and distance is nothing in eternity. See, I ventured off a little bit, but see, I want you to understand, as we go through this, these things are written not just for the Jews. They're written for all of those who have come to the Lord. Adam Clark is another one. He says this, though God may permit the wicked to prevail for a time against his people, yet in the end those shall be overthrown, and the glory of the Lord shall shine brightly on them that fear him. For the earth shall be subdued and the universe filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And I agree with that. Thank God. But there's another thing when we're talking about this thought that God will bring, you know, there's trouble in the evening and before morning the trouble is gone. They meant to spoil you. They meant to rob you. And maybe even kill you. Remember, the devil, the Lord says, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not your buddy. You cannot make a pact with the devil. Humans have a choice to repent and follow him. Second Thessalonians 1. Paul begins it this way in verse 6. Actually, this is a continuation, but this is the one I want you. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Have you ever been troubled by anybody in your office or in your school or anywhere at all? You have to keep your faith. You have to make sure you don't have hatred, and you have to watch yourself in this relationship and be as perfect before God as you can be as this person is doing this, because God will recompense tribulation to those who cause you trouble. And you may not even recognize it. You may not even know when it happens. But make no mistake, When you are his children, the Apostle Paul says it's a righteous thing with God. And there's another scripture that says, whatever you sow, so shall you reap. If you go around causing trouble, hurting people, that's what you'll get. And the people here, like Antifa, that are rioting on the streets, beating people up. Even the Democrats who believe that false witnesses is the way to impeach someone, they will get recompensed. That's the way God works. He goes on to say, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified with the saints and to be admired in all them that believe. And he refers to them, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This thing is far from over. Far from over. And we're going to be coming down to the end here. Hebrews 10. 28-31. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's in the Old Testament. That's keeping the law, the Torah. Of how much sore punishment suppose you he shall be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that says, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, you see, there, this actually covers a couple things, not just the unbeliever from the start, but it talks about the believer. It says, and he has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Now, see, that's someone who has known the Lord. Because if you didn't know the Lord, you wouldn't have known anything about the blood of the covenant. You wouldn't know anything about sanctification. An unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. How do you do that? By walking in the flesh, doing the deeds of the flesh, walking as the children of disobedience. You read the New Testament closely, and you're going to find the prophets, the apostles, telling people, you can't do those things as believers. But when you fall away as a believer, you're counting the blood of the covenant as nothing. Where you were sanctified and you had eternal life because of your faith in him, when you lose that faith, you're in trouble. But then there's those others who just count it unholy and worthless to begin with. And they try to tear down what God has done. And ripping apart the Spirit of grace which God pours out upon them who repent. Yes, there is going to be a day of vengeance. And the children of God will see it. And on the day of judgment, the children of God will see this, and all the people will line up, and they will know the sins these people have committed. They will know to whom they committed it against, and everything shall be known in that day, and the ones who had it done unto them will see the justice of the Lord regarding how these people treated them. Everyone that was martyred will see the one who martyred them. And sometimes those ones who martyred them come to the Lord. In that case, he's forgiven. But there's others. Know this, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for watching over us. Bless your word to all of those who hear this. Whenever they hear it, bless them, keep them, and watch over them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, I didn't know if you could hear me. Yes, we got to get out of here. We don't have much time. Well, we love you. We pray for you. May God richly bless you and for all you do for him. Stay connected to him. And please join us tomorrow for Great Day Almighty. Is a day when nations tend to forget. That'll be tomorrow on Sound the Shofar. So good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.